Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because you continually teach us your ways, O Lord, that we shall walk in them, and that we shall thrive in them, and that we shall have dominion in them. Now, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you because you give us the spirit of faith, and we speak, and we believe, and we speak. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the scripture says that we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, the reason it says faith and sight is because those are two mutually exclusive realms. You either walk by faith or you walk by sight. You cannot walk by both. Okay? And the sight that he's talking about is the sight. Now, it requires discipline to learn how to walk by faith, because you've grown all your life, throughout your life, walking by sight, by what you see. And sight doesn't just mean sight. Sight means it's just using one part of your senses to describe all the other senses. So sight in this case means feelings, hearing, what are the other senses? Smelling, and all the five. Okay? And so, but no, so it says we do not walk by our senses, but we walk by faith. Now, this is one realm, and this the other one is the other one. Now, the discipline that it takes to completely get your eyes off what you see and what you feel and what seems so tangible in your face, and to actually fixate it on something which more or less you have to construct from a word. So you have a word, and the responsibility to construct that word and make it something tangible and make it become flesh. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. But then, as you're trying to construct that word, there is something in front of you which seems more urgent and more real and more believable, and it's waving itself, you know, in your face. Now, in between these realms is where Christians have a big problem manifesting, the manifestation of the things that you desire in your life. So you come, you listen to words, regardless of how powerful the words you listen to are, okay? Regardless of how powerful they are, without the basic element of learning how to use, to make a word more important than anything you see, and you say, I know what I'm seeing, but this word is more important than what I see with my eyes. Now, when you discipline yourself to be like that, that is when you actually learn to walk by faith. And walk by faith means living by faith, existing by faith, doing everything by faith. Amen? There was a time we used to meet in, first of all, we came and we used to meet up there, remember? When there was a bar here. So we used to meet up there. So one day when I finished ministering, I came and I saw this place. And I said I would want us to be meeting in this place. But of course the people who were in charge of this place gave us far away because they wanted to have their booze here. Now, eventually even disagreed with them, and we went and were meeting somewhere in Munyonyo. Remember? But that was what I was seeing. That was the sight. In faith, the minute I saw this ground, I knew we are going to meet here. And when I would be praying about the watchman, I would be praying watchman here, not there where we're meeting, here. That's what it means to walk by faith, not by sight. Because you know what you've asked for, you know what you believe, and therefore you see it as if it is already accomplished, and eventually it becomes accomplished. So now when it actually manifests, you are not even excited about it because you saw it a long time ago. Because you have been living that reality, even if in the outward sense you were not. So there are so many things which I sit and I'm constructing inside myself. And as far as I'm concerned, they are absolutely real. And they are being constructed inside me. And I pray in faith. That's the difference with prayer of faith. I pray in faith. You have no idea how many times I saw us meeting here, long before we ever met here. Amen? Now, when you learn that tact, that's when you're learning the ways of God. You learn that you make it happen by seeing it. That's what the realm of faith is. So, in sight, we are in Munyonyo. In faith, we are here. What do I look at? I walk by faith, not by sight. So, even when I'm thinking, when I'm planning, when I'm doing everything, it is not for here, it is for somewhere else. And I'm projecting my sight, my inner sight. Because there is the outer sight and there is the inner sight. So I'm projecting my inner sight to what I want, not what I am seeing currently. Praise the Lord. Now that is where many people find a problem between believing and manifesting. Between desiring and manifesting. So you desire something, but you do not know how to manifest it and make it real in your life. Because it is just a desire. It remains at the level of desire. And yet actually, you can crystallize that desire into something that manifests. And then you do it once, and then you do it twice, and then you become an expert at walking by faith. Like where something looks completely pointing in this direction, but for you, you have a word that is going in this direction. And you're confident. There is nothing in you that doubts because you don't walk by sight. Okay? Now, what the devil does and what his work is to do is, because these are different realms, you see, faith is a currency in the realm of God. And you cannot exist without that currency, just like you can't live here on earth without money. Now, in the kingdom of God, you cannot live without faith. That's the currency. That's why it is impossible to please God without faith. That's the currency. Now, if you're trying to, in this realm, the currency is something different. And you know it. You're familiar with it. Now, what the enemy does is this. I'm giving you a secret of actually manifesting the things you want in your life. Now, what the enemy does is this. There is nothing that he has. There is nothing that is his. Everything he has stolen. And his work is to divert it, to redistribute it. Okay? You remember the story of Daniel in chapter 10. Daniel, the scripture says, the angel came to him, Gabriel, and says, from the day you set out your heart to pray, on the very day, God sent me. In other words, no sooner had Daniel prayed than God sent the angel with the answer. Then he said, but the prince of Persia withstood me in the air for 21 days. So the answer was dispatched. But there was a force there trying to, you know. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Go from where he says from the day. Start from verse 12. It says, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Somebody say, your words were heard. And I have come because of. He has come because of? He has come because of what? So, God had his words and God sent an angel because of for his words. But then there was a time difference in between there. And that time difference, he goes on to explain in verse 13, the prince of Persia withstood me 21 days with trying to hold back. But beyond Michael, one of the chief princes came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now, that means that on this realm here, Daniel was praying. His prayers were heard in the realm of heaven. An answer was dispatched, but in between there, there was something that was withholding the answers. Now, it's a bit different in the New Testament, but it is kind of similar. Because what happens is the enemy does not have anything. He gets what you pray for, and God releases. Whatever it is you pray for, the minute you pray for it, God releases it. Now the enemy comes and how does he withstand you? Not in the way he did in Daniel, because now for you are in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. But how does he withstand you? By making you see, keeping you on the plane of sight, where you're saying, but you're asking God for a house on a hill somewhere. Where is it? How is it going to happen? Now, those are the words of the enemy. Now, he's convincing you. Meanwhile, the house on the hill which you prayed for has already been released by God for you. But if he can confuse you and destabilize your faith and mess you up, then he will give it to some witch doctor who is going to serve him. But it would never be there if he had not asked for it. Do you understand? So he waits for you to ask. And then God dispatches. And then he comes and tries to keep you on the plane of sight. And you be there. And you start asking yourself questions like, how? How is it going to happen? And now the minute you go into how, you've come out of faith and you've come into his realm. And when you live your life in this realm, the devil will have you for breakfast, lunch, and supper. Because you get frustrated. Everything you pray for doesn't come. But it actually was dispatched for you. But it stopped somewhere in the way. And the devil is busy actually using your prayers to redistribute to his people. So you ask for something, he comes immediately and tells you, okay, huh, now I can now look at you. Where are you going to get a Range Rover? First look at yourself. Okay? Now, if he can convince you to go by sight, and then you start saying, but honestly, where is it going to come from? He has you. Because now then, some witch doctor is going to be driving a Range Rover, which belong to Akena. Now that's the purpose of that intermediary realm, is to actually divert what is yours and distribute it to the servants of the enemy. Until you learn how to press forward and get it, whatever you ask for has to come and you have to see it here. Okay? How do you do that? Number one, by behaving like it. There are ways you do it. You see, the first one is like what I told you someday. When you're praying, there is a prayer of faith and there is a prayer of religion. Those two are totally different. That's why people pray and pray and pray, and there is no manifestation whatsoever of anything of what they desire. Because they are not praying a prayer of faith. They are praying a prayer of sight. Now, the prayer of faith, you do not pray for something until you first see it. You see, until you first see it. So even when, I'll give you an example. What would I be praying for? Okay, I said, let's say house on a hill. Okay? So I want a house somewhere on a hill. So that's my prayer. I don't sit there and say, God, give me a house on a hill. No, that's religion. That's a religious prayer. I go and see the house on the hill which I want. I see it. I see myself in it. I just basically get myself carried away in the bliss of owning it. When I don't own it, then when I've convinced my spirit and my soul that, yes, that is my house, then I will pray. The minute I say the words, that's it. The wheels start getting in motion one way or another. Now, you're trying to pray. You see that, you know that scripture which says, now you're trying to pray for something which you are not seeing. And you are not going to get it. Not because God is not giving, but because you are not seeing it. I remember I told somebody, we used to work together. So she was, you know, an industrious lady and what. But I knew she wanted to get married. So she said, I did this, I did that. I said, now for you, you're building houses, where would your husband put you? Because then she said, how sure am I that I'm going to get a husband? What if I get to 40 and I'm still single? Let me first, whatever. Then don't bother praying. You see, eh? Because in your mind, you have seen yourself at 40 single. Isn't it? So don't waste God's time. Okay, not that you're wasting his time, but you know what I'm saying. Don't waste your own time. You have to first see yourself in that place. So you're praying, oh God, give me a husband. But in your mind, you're actually seeing yourself at 50, single. You're praying for a house, but you're seeing yourself at 50, renting. But you're praying. That's what they call religious prayers. That's what they call saying prayers. There's a difference between saying prayers and what? And praying. Anybody can say prayers. It's the same as the difference between singing worship songs and worshiping. I mean, you can sing beautiful worship songs, but your mind is not in it. You're not worshiping. You're just singing a song. Or saying prayers. You know the way the religious people do. Our Father, what in heaven, hallowed be thy. They are cramming. There is no connection between the words they are saying and their heart. So they are just saying prayers. Now, on the contrary, you connect your heart to what you're saying, and now you're praying. Okay? And that's a totally different thing. Now, when you actually want to manifest something, and you believe in God to manifest something, you have to first, don't think it's a waste of time. You have to first take time to meditate on yourself in that state where you want to be. First see yourself there. First see yourself having accomplished it. Before you even say any word of prayer, first see yourself, you know, having done that. Then conceive it inside yourself. Then let the reality sink in. And then you pray from that reality, not from where you are. You pray from that place. Okay? And then you do that again. And then you learn what it means to walk by faith. You will not, nothing of what's around you will affect you. There's something you're seeing ahead. Okay? Now, you will stop asking yourself questions like how. I remember one time when I was getting on my journey of faith, which, by the way, let nobody deceive you that you can pass, that you can skip this lesson and you live a victorious Christian life. You cannot. This is the one lesson everybody has to learn. Now, when I was starting it, there was somebody who was expecting some financial obligations. I had some financial obligations, and somebody was supposed to get some money from me. So I told the person, you know, right now I'm not in position to do that, but when my financial situation improves, I'll be able to do ABC. And the person asked me in such a mocking tone, how would it improve? By faith. And the answer was yes, by faith. Then the person said, you're just a dreamer. Go and get a job and what. Anyway, as fate would have it, my faith yielded something. And the person lost their job. And God impressed it on me to help them out with my faith money, which they were mocking. You see, when you're building something, people will mock you because they walk by sight. And that's their realm. But leave them alone. Because the way that person mocked me, if I was not strong, I would have aborted my journey. How? By faith. You know, there are people who have words which sting. They are not just words. They don't even so much, they don't speak them as spit them at you. They just spit. So after the person, how? By faith, I just kept quiet because I didn't know. Now, how would you start explaining to somebody? Yes, by faith. But I kept quiet. Now I remember when the Lord impressed me to go and help that person out when now their financial situation was not doing well. I didn't say a lot, but I didn't say anything, actually. But I was tempted to, because I knew the person was a tight spot, and I went and gave them five million shillings. And the shock on their face and what, I wanted to say, that is faith. But I didn't say it, Because you see, these things of God, people will mock you when you're building it. But don't let that affect you. If you've decided that God is faithful, if you decided that his word is true, you go by that. The results will tell at the end, and you will end up on top. That's how it works. That's how it works. Because the people who walk by sight will ask how. The other day I was talking to some Aradisi. We were coming from media engagement. Then the guy was laughing at me of how I built a pattern and they stole it from me. Then he said, you thought it was, this is church. So of course I was laughing. Then he told me that what? Then he told me that I told him, I don't relax. This government of yours is coming to an end. Then he asked me how? By prayer. And I remembered that by faith. I said, okay, you wait, you'll see. Yes, it is coming down by prayer. You see those fools, they walk by sight. We don't. Amen? But you see somehow something in them is, it makes them always scared. Now, I get amused because they watch everybody who is around me so that they can come and promise them things so that they betray me. The usual thing. Now I was with somebody here who was driving me, who drove me to that TV. So when I came out of TV with this guy, this person who was with me came and, you know, brought the car for me to enter. I saw him looking at him like this. Say, this is the next target to what? They are like themselves. Let me tell you something. I don't have any. You see, if I start asking myself how, I have come out of faith. You understand? God's word has the how in it. Mine is just to believe. So how is Akena going to get a Range Rover? That is not his business. If God says he has the word, has the ability to produce it. Did God lose his creative power? If he creates a human being and all the systems he does, what is anything that you want? So the thing is, when you walk by faith, you do not let the house and start asking you. Because that's another way the devil will keep you in the realm of sight. Okay, but really how? You have to be able to say, none of my business. The how is what? Is none of my business. But I know what God said. Let me leave the how to him. So, 2 Corinthians 4:18, that scripture, you know it. It says, 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we do not look at the things which are seen. Now you see, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now, the things, he cannot, so we look at things, but not those which other people see. Not those which are seen. The fact that they are not seen doesn't mean they are not there. They are there. And each one chooses what to look at. So some people will look at those things which are seen, which we can see, which you cannot. Seen means perceived, understood, things which you can understand. So if somebody like, who you know has the means, says, I'm going to do this, then that makes sense. But because you can see it. Let's say if he's a rich person, let me use the example still of Akena's Range Rover. Please don't, you know. Now, if that is somebody whom you know, let's say, has a very good job, then that is something which you are seeing because it's conceivable. You can calculate, you can derive it and see how it is going to happen. What's your monthly salary? 70 million. Ah, Range Rover, no problem. You'll buy it. Because you're looking at the things which are seen. But say now, somebody says, but do not look at the things which people do not see. People don't see it, but for you, you're seeing it. Now, if there is any one time when there are things which, I'll paraphrase it. At every one time, there has to be something you're seeing which only you see, which nobody else sees. And it is inside you. And it is conceived inside you. And when it happens, it's not even going to shock you. Because you saw it long time ago, it's nothing new. Now, the manifestation, there is a gap between the asking and the actual manifestation of what you asked for in this realm where you need it. Amen? There is that gap. And there is a way that you reduce that gap according to Scripture. Now, one of the ways is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a way by which you take something which is in the future and bring it in the present. Do you understand? So if Akena is asking for his Range Rover and he asks God for it, he has to first of all believe what the Scripture says. What does the Scripture say? That this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, then he hears our petitions. And if he hears our petitions, then we have what we are asked for. I think that's 1 John 5:14. So you have to have confidence. That the minute, or this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Go ahead. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now, first keep it there. What does he say? Whatever we ask, we know that what? Eh? That we'll get the petitions that we have. We ask, and then we know that we have. When do we have? The minute we ask. Not we'll have. The minute you start thinking future, you are out of faith. There is nothing that is of faith that is in the future. Nothing. Nothing. Faith is now. So I have, if I stand here today and ask for a Range Rover, the minute I ask it, I have it. I'm not going to have it. I have it. And now that has to be clear inside me. Anything I ask for, at that moment, I have it. Now, if I have it at that moment, then how am I going to get it into the realm where now I'm driving it? Number one is never lose the tense. Never lose sight of the tense. The tense of faith is now, is continuum, present continuum. I have it. He has heard me, and therefore I have it. Now, the minute you say, I will, you've lost it. The devil is now distributing it to somebody else. The moment you put it in the future, you're finished. It is not in the future. It is in the now. Now, then, what brings it closer? Thanksgiving. So then you start thanking God for it as though you were seeing it with these eyes, with your senses. But you don't have to first see it with your senses. You thank God for it. God, I thank you for this Range Rover. Man, I thank you. And you carry on with it and get carried out with it. And I'm telling you, after some time, now here is how you know, after some time you'll start seeing, let's say even you have a specific color that you want. What color do you want? Blue. Now let me tell you this. When you start doing that, and I'm using Range Rover, but there are so many other things you know you can. When you start doing that, and you're thanking God for it, and you even get carried away as if it is packed inside, you know, outside of your house. The next thing that will happen, everywhere you turn, you start seeing blue Range Rovers. Then you know that it is coming because your eyes are, there is something inside you which is attracting that sight. Do you understand? Like, now you don't see those cars. You don't take particular notice of them until you start meditating on it and owning it. Then you realize that you're one of many people who have blue Range Rovers. Every time you step outside, a blue Range Rover. Like that shows that you're about to, something inside you you're about to give birth. Because all the outside signs start showing that something is about to give birth. Now, even then, the devil is still trying to make you go by sight to abort your baby. So you try to divert her. How is this going to happen? Now, when he realizes that you are in control and you are almost getting there, then you will come and say, but do you know a red Range Rover is better? Now, the minute you fall for it, you've gone backwards because everything you've meditated on now has disappeared. You understand? Now, that's what he does. Say, but you know, let me tell you. Okay, Range Rovers are good, but do you know even a G-Wagon is good? Now you've lost it. You have to stick to what it was you said and what you're meditating, and stick there. Red, no, I don't want red. Mine is blue. Okay? But you see the other white. Red. I want blue. Now, that is part of trying to, you know, to confuse you. Because let me tell you, you have no idea how much he will try to confuse you. Number one, because if you manifest it like that, you will know that you will never be broke again in your life. Because you know how it works. And you have a testimony, something that's there, that is tangible. And you know, when I started believing for this car, I had absolutely no means in the natural to get it. But now I have it. Therefore, what else do I want? Then God ceases to be a God of your needs. He becomes a God of what? Of your wants. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, there are different levels. Somebody says he supplies my need. Okay? But that's the one level. But then there's another level of want. I don't need it, but I want it. Amen? So now you are so he knows that once that step is taken, and then one day you wake up and it is there, you have given him a knockout. After that, everything becomes so easy for you. Because now you have a basis for which to believe. And it becomes a lot easier thereafter. Praise the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, number one, never forget that faith is now. Never say, I will, it will. I am going to, I will. You are. Amen? Number two, always be in thanksgiving. Thank God for it. Like it is there. Thank God for it. Thanksgiving will cut short the time you have to wait, because it brings it from the future into the present. Now, many people get frustrated walking by faith because they are so, it looks so tedious, and you know, now what? I have to be, what? Let me tell you what is tedious. Tedious is getting what you want on your current salary. But because you're lazy to actually concretize something in the spirit, you say, but now you see what? And you don't know that this, you're learning a different language, how to walk by faith in everything. Go to John chapter 11. I'll show you the tense of faith. John chapter 11, start from verse 40. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Go ahead. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. Not because you are going to hear me. No. The tense of faith is it is done. You understand? Father, I thank you because what? You have heard me. He hasn't even asked for what he wants, but he knows God has already heard him. Now that is faith. It is done. There is nothing. Now, if Jesus said, Father, I thank you because you are going to hear me, that's not faith. Because you have heard me. Go ahead. And I know that you always hear me. But because of these people who are standing by, I said this that they may believe that you sent me. You know what happened here. This was when he called Lazarus from the grave. Okay? But I just wanted to show you that there is nothing that is of faith that is a future. Never ever, like, sit in it. I will get you back to this thing because I have to end quickly even if I started late. I'll tell you this. When you're praying, pray from the future you want. Don't look at where you are. Look at where you want to be and pray from that place. Amen? There are people who pray in a place like defeated, as if they are defeated. God help us. What? That is defeatist prayer. It might work if you're a baby Christian. Okay? And God will pull off miracles for people who are young believers. But God's perfect will is not miracles. God's perfect will is that you learn how to live by faith and you get everything you want by faith. That's his perfect will. You want a house, just believe for it and you get it. You want this, you want. That's his perfect will. Now, then you get, now that's the promised land thing. But some of you still want to be where your manna is falling every day from heaven. But God doesn't want that. When they entered the promised land, the manna stopped. Now go and plant and harvest. Now, miracles will be for people who are starting out. But you see people come into church sometimes because they have seen something miraculous. And God will always do something miraculous to attract people inside. So somebody comes when they are in a very tight place and so on, and God pulls off a miracle for them just to, you know, attract them, to show them that, you know, he's there and all that. And then when they come into the church, some of them never improve, never go to the next step because they are not taught how to live by faith. Because when you come into the kingdom, the currency is faith. So you have to be taught what I'm teaching you, how to live by faith, how to get everything you want by faith. Never pray for something unless you've convinced yourself inside that you have it and it is there and you've conceived it and it is inside you, then now you start praying for it. And as soon as you pray for it, thank God for it. And then stay in thanksgiving until it materializes in this realm. And then in the meantime, you're praying for something else. By the time this one materializes, you had finished that one a long time ago, now you're on another one, and another one. Then you get into that place of living by faith. So nothing of, you know, you're not seeing, you're not looking at the things which are seen. You're looking at the things which are not seen. There are so many things which are not seen. There are crowns, there are thrones. Everything is divided into things which are seen and are not seen. For the things which, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen? Now, when you get something from the realm of something which was not seen, and you manifest it in the realm where it is seen, nobody can take it away from you. There is nothing that can take it away from you, because it has your name written on it. What I'm trying to say is this. If a Kenna starts seeing a Blue Range Rover and asks for it, and a Blue Range Rover is dispatched for him, and he goes through the process of continuing believing, refusing the devil's distractions, and giving thanks to God and glorifying God for the Range Rover until one day it appears in front of him in this three-dimensional plane we are. You will never hear tomorrow that Manelenders took it. No, it has his name on it. He picked it from the spirit realm and brought it here. You understand? When you hear those things, Manelenders, it was not taken from the spirit realm. When it's taken from that realm, it is permanent. That's what it says, the things which are not seen are eternal. They are permanent. They cannot be that you got it. Today you have it, tomorrow you don't have it. Now, anything on this other plane, you get it with any other means, you can lose it like that. Amunange, the Manelenders came and took it because he had a date. Manelenders cannot take something you got from the spirit because it has your name on it. It is yours permanently until you decide you do not want it any longer. Then of your own decision, you might decide to give it away or sell it, whatever. But it was picked from somewhere and it was brought here. Now that is the realm, that's what a manifestation, where you pull something from that realm and bring it here and make it yours. And it is yours permanently. And now everybody has to learn how to do that. Otherwise you will be a Christian, you will have powerful words, but you will be defeated. You will never be in a position where you can actually live a very, very prosperous, nice, interesting, glorious life. Because everything you ask for, the devil comes and says, And now what he does is, he will try to keep you so much in the plane of sight, seeing, okay, now where are you going? What is this? And then you'll even use people to come and say, but you don't even own a bicycle. I'm talking about a Range Rover. Now that kind of wisdom is from the pits of hell. You've heard that, and it comes out as wisdom. As long as I believe it, I don't have to go through a bicycle. If you enjoy a bicycle, you ride it. Then we give you 10 years, then you get a Boda Boda. Then another 10 years, then you get a Raum. Akena, for him, he wants to go from 0 to 100. You see, like there is wisdom which is of the world, which is so stupid, but it is glorified. One preacher said that one day he was moving with another preacher, and then he said that he turned to the guy and said, "The Lord has just spoken to me and told me that he's going to give me my own plane." Then the other preacher said, "Hey, you man, you don't even have a Toyota." And now you see, he did not even ask that, "Are you sure it is God?" Because maybe you doubt if he has hardware. You understand? That's understandable. But if it is God, he can give him any. What's wrong with the people? Because you've lived by sight for so long, you forget that God is God. So this guy said, he kept quiet. Now a few months later, the man got his, plane, jet. And now they were flying from one place to another. This guy was there. They had been, I think, at the same conference, and they were going back to the same place. So the guy said, "Hey, can I get a lift?" He said, "No. Go and take commercial plane, since you said I don't have a Toyota." And that is right. Because people like that, why don't you shut up? If you don't believe it, shut up. Why do you discourage somebody? You see, there are people who you have the anointing of discouragement. Like, just keep quiet. There are so many things which people say, and you have the right to doubt them. But you don't have the right to discourage them. So just keep quiet, even if you don't believe it. Now, the man said, "I refuse to give him a lift in my plane." And the guy continued, asking, "Can I have it?" "No, I'm not giving you a lift. My plane might even crash if I take somebody who has so much unbelief like you." Now, that's how some of those people, that wisdom of you don't even have a bicycle. So some people, if you really learn the secret of this thing of manifestation, of the things which are not seen, and you see them inside yourself, you just see it. But it's not seen, you're the only one who is seeing it. You have no idea the things which I see. By the way, if I told you the things which I see, and I'm seeing them, and only me sees them. And when I'm praying, I am in them. I'm not asking God for them, I'm there. I am there deciding, making decisions from a certain place. Like, that's what it means living by faith. Praise the Lord. Now, let me finish with some small pointers. Number one, you can either choose to be the kind of person who is going to be putting out fires, praying for problems. Now you see this one, then you pray. Now this one happened, then you pray. Now this one happened, then you pray. And then you become an expert at putting out fires. Or you can use your prayer time to see something big, and look ahead. And then you understand the hand of God. Some gentleman told me, and he really did not understand it. And I didn't understand it at the time, because this is some years ago. He was being chased out of the house for rent. And he really went and prayed to God about rent. Said, "God, I'm going to be embarrassed." Now, when he slept, he had a dream when there was a whole street with beautiful houses, and the street was named after him. He could see, those yellow signs they put there? He could see his name there. And that was the dream. Then the guy woke up and he was so thoroughly confused. "Now, God, I'm asking for rent. You're showing me this." Now, when you understand that's how God works, that if you just forget, let me tell you, if you just focus now on that, he has given you a target. Focus on that whatever. And now start praying with that in mind. See yourself, this whole clause over whatever, clause over street with your name. So you see Akena Street with, all these beautiful houses and what. And when you close your eyes, you see it and you pray for. The first thing that will happen is the immediate rent problem will vanish. I can assure you that. Like, you learn how to hit long range, not short range. You see, there's what Baganda said, No, you learn how to hit long range. Now you're looking at something bigger. But then you say, "But about the immediate problems?" Those ones always vanish. The minute you start thinking big, the small problems vanish. And then you realize, you wake up one day and you paid your rent. Rent is no longer an issue. Now you're so taken up by that street, and God has given you a target, and you build it, and you don't know how it happens, but it happens. Remember, how is none of your business. How is none of your business. If the dream is from God, the how is his business. Yours is to believe it, and to see it, and to conceive it, and to conceptualize it, and to make it a part of you, inside you, and then you see how it unfolds slowly by slowly. And by the way, I'll tell you this. When it unfolds and when you're living it, you'll even forget that at some stage you were, you know, because it will become like natural. And then you find it's there. There are things which you wake up and say, hey, I remember I used to pray about this. And it happened a long time ago and even forgot. But you see, there is that system there which God put in place, which never forgets. You conceive something, you conceive it in your spirit, in your heart. Keep a hold of it, pray about it, and believe, and thank God for it. It is coming. There is nothing in the world that can stop it from coming. You understand? That is the same principle of sowing. You throw a seed in the ground, it is going to sprout. Now, you know at some stage now, I've sowed a seed for this house. By seed, I don't mean sowing seed money. I mean inside you. You've conceived this house thing. I've conceived it. Now, then you keep quiet. You can wake up 3 years and you have a house. By the way, I was once praying about this. And it is there. Because now you have gone into the thing of walking by faith, not by sight. And now the enemy tries to make you walk by sight. He can't. Because you've already seen one thing, you've seen another. And sometimes it's better to start with this. Something small, not because you can't get the big ones, but because it's easier to build on something, and then you build, and after some time you become extremely confident. And then one final thing I'll tell you is that the first thing you believe for, it can take you 3 years to get it. But after you get it the first time, and the second time, and the third time, the time period starts reducing. After some time, you start getting it next week. Everything you believe for. Everything starts coming faster. Why? Because your faith has become more concrete. And now you have actually started believing from deep inside you. You're not gambling. There's an element of gambling with everybody because we have lived by sight for so long. But when we move away from living by sight and you start constructing things by faith, now you'll even start wondering why anybody would think something like that is impossible. Why would anybody believe that, I can't have a Range Rover. That's the next week. Because if you've done things by faith, you start seeing things and you see anything is possible. Like you look and see everything is possible. There is nothing that is impossible. Praise the Lord. Now the thing is what Jesus said, Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you ask for, believe that you receive them and you will have them. First, believe that you receive them. Okay? When you pray, believe that you receive them. When do you receive them? When you ask for them. And then you'll have them. First of all, you have to believe that you receive them. Then you'll have for them. That works the same, let's say, for sickness. You're sick, and then you say, you pray for healing, I believe for this and what. Then all the symptoms in your body are still saying sick. But for you, say, no, I believe that I'm healed. Now, the minute you learn how to exercise that, and you forget all the symptoms, the sight, and walk by what the word of God says, then it will take you a while. It can take you a while, and you seem like, oh, you're bad off, but you say, I'm healed. Then you get healed. There's a time it took me almost 2 days of intense malaria. And I was, I am healed. And during the day, I'm putting on a jacket and a sweater and what, but I'm healed. Then, eventually, then after some time, it happened, like the sickness went. And It was lovely because that was like 1995, I think 94, 95. And that was the last time I ever got malaria. I used to get it every month before then. But I conquered it. I said, no, I'm not going down that path. I said, I am healed. I am healed. Then the Spirit of God would challenge, what are you doing in bed if you're healed? Then I wake up, I'm healed. I'm healed. Until it happened. Now, that's the thing. It's the things which are not seen are what? Are permanent. Now I got permanent healing for it. Now I cannot get malaria. Because the things which are not seen are... I got it in the morning, on a Sunday morning, I remember. Sunday, around 6. I woke up and I was shivering. I confessed healing. I got a confirmation inside my spirit that I am healed at around 6 p.m. But my body was extremely sick. But I walk by faith, not by what? So, sight means feeling. So the following morning, I woke up still very sick. I went into town. I didn't even have enough transport. I walked into town. I took a taxi to town. Then I was walking back. And I remember where I was, somewhere along Acacia Avenue, when I was walking like this, going up the hill, still very... Suddenly, instantly, the healing just manifested, and instantly the malaria went completely, and I felt so strong, and so instantly. But I'd been confessing that healing from Sunday morning up to like 4 p.m. Monday. But that was it. Okay, now, my point is this. I knew, because I had been reading the Word of God, and I had put my whatever on that whole thing. I'd been reading all the scriptures of healing. So I said, no, I cannot whatever. The Word of God says, let everything else be a liar, but God be true. So my body is lying. I'm not sick. The Word of God says, by His stripes I was healed. So I went like that. Now, what's my point? It takes some effort to walk by faith. It is much easier there to go and take a kakerenda. But I would still be taking kakerenda all these years later. Amen? The things which are not seen are what? Are permanent. Now that's the thing. Because I can get, there are so many means I can get what I want, but it will be temporary. But if I get it by what I'm telling you, by faith, then it is permanent. Amen? You cannot lose it. If you get your Range Rover by faith, it is going to be yours until you're tired of it. But if you get it other ways, it may be yours until you're tired of it, but then also it might not be. And there are so many people who are so worried about everything they have because they never got it by faith, including, let's say, power. They are so scared. But if you get it by faith, or by prayer, like the other guy said. So are you going to take him off? By prayer. Those people can mock. They can mock. But when you are in the pursuing stage, people mock you. Praise the Lord. Amen. I finished preaching. Because today is Good Friday, whatever. Holy Communion. I'm under the blood of the Lamb
that covers the guilt of my past. By the mercy of God, holy and righteous I stand.
How's everybody? Okay, let us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we sanctify this bread and this wine, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, for this purpose of Holy Communion. And may you bless them, Father, even as we do the ordinance that the Lord Jesus Christ left us the night when he was betrayed, when he took off the bread and he broke it and said, take it, this is my body that is broken for you. And you said, we do it in remembrance of you. But you also say that you are the bread that comes down from heaven, that men shall eat of it and shall not die, and shall be alive, and shall be healthy, and shall be strong. But this is the bread that comes, that came down from heaven, that men shall eat of it and shall not die. And therefore, even as we partake of this bread, we thank you, Lord Jesus, because your life dwells in us. Your life is in us. Your health is in us, in every part of our bodies. Now, if there is any sickness in anyone's body here this day, even as they partake of this bread, the sickness vanishes. For we are aware, we know that this is the bread, this is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come in oneness with it. And we thank you, Lord, because of your divine health that is ours in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may eat of the bread. And in the same way, you took the cup of your blood, which is shed for us, shed for our redemption. Redemption in every aspect of our lives. Every aspect of our lives is redeemed. And even by partaking of this, we proclaim and we decree that we walk in the fullness of the new covenant and its promises and its blessings. And we thank you, Father, because those blessings pursue us, those blessings overtake us, and those blessings are manifest in our lives. Every spiritual blessing, as you have blessed us, manifests in our life, and we receive of it this day, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand up, everybody. I speak a blessing upon. Now, there is the blessing of restoration is still going on. That word is still very active. So, pursue it. But it is active to the extent that you pursue it. So, anything that has not been restored, that you expect a restoration, continue to claim it. Claim a hold of it. That word hasn't run its course. So in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, for you continue to restore everything that the enemy had stolen. I thank you because you lift us up to a time, you lift us up to ownership in the name of Jesus. And now the spirit of ownership comes and we become owners of properties. Say amen. We become owners of properties. And we thank you, Father, because you bring them to our laps. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Say, I own properties. Say, I own properties. Remember, the language of faith is now. Don't think in your mind that you will own. Think that you own. So say it again.
I own properties.
Say it again.
I own properties.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, our partnership meeting was supposed to be on Monday, but because it's Easter Monday, we pushed it to Wednesday. And it's a special one. I want you to come, all partners and, you know, those who want to be. I want us to talk about a word that, you know, that is, there's a word that I have for the partners. So make sure on Wednesday, if you are a partner, you come around in the evening. What time? Yeah, realistically 6:30. So please make sure you come around. Do not skip it. It's very important. God bless you.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.